Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience all over the world to another edition of our program, Islamic Studies. This program is being broadcast to you live by Sahar Universal Network from the Islamic Republic of Iran and from the holy city of Qum. And I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. The program has been on the theme of interfaith dialogue, and we've been doing that for at least three or four weeks now. And we are going to look at the aspect of interfaith dialogue in terms of interfaith dialogue as well, because this happens to be Unity Week this week in the Islamic Republic of Iran and for the whole Ummah. And I'm going to go explain a little bit about this as our introduction to this particular episode that we are having today. And it's an exceptional coincidence that we have Unity Week this week, because it falls on the birthday of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his holy family, which is celebrated by the entire Muslim Ummah. And of course, it is also the birthday of Imam Jafar Sadiq, the sixth holy Imam of the Shia school of thought. And of course, he's the founding father of the Jafriya school of thought. And of course, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is the founder of Islam. And we're going to put all these aspects together because it's very interesting, because we are looking at commonalities in both interfaith dialogue and intrafaith dialogue, which we'll go into explaining later in the program what we mean by that. But of course, this is the aspect where Muslims come together on a common platform, all schools of thought, discussing the problems that we face, the challenges we have in the modern world, and to overcome the obstacles that we face in terms of the difficulties that are happening in the modern world in terms of the war on terror, the Islamophobia, the various other difficulties that Muslims face throughout the world. So we want to use this platform in terms of making our dialogue productive and useful in trying to solve our common problems. So we're going to do that after a short break with my expert in the studio, but there'll be a short narration before that. So please don't go away. We'll be right back. Thanks.
The Holy Quran says, "Say, O people of the book, come to a word common between us and you, that we will worship no one but Allah, and that we will not ascribe any partner to him, and that we will not take each other as lords besides Allah. But if they turn away, say, be witnesses that we are Muslims." Surah Ali Imran 64. In this verse, followers of the monotheistic Abrahamic faiths have been invited to consider what is common between their faiths and the faith of Islam, that we will worship none other than the one God, that we will not ascribe partners to him, and that we will not take each other as lords besides the one God. It is a proclamation of unity between all revealed religions. This unity is based on the shared belief in the unity of God. He is the only creator, and he is the only one to worship. The divine revelations to humanity are harmonious and consistent. It naturally follows that as the divine messages were sent to mankind by the one and only God, then these messages must be identical in essence. Of course, depending on varying conditions and factors, some details may have changed, and the depth and the extent of the ideas expressed in the scriptures may have changed through better human understanding, but their essence is the same. The Quran instructs us to find the common grounds, beyond all the differences, on which dialogue can be based. When you meet people of other faiths, you may first see the differences, but what the Quran asks of us is to go beyond these differences, to find the commonalities on which we can form our dialogue.
Welcome back, viewers. You're watching Islamic Studies, and I'm your regular host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. I'd like to remind you this is a live program, so if you'd like to get in touch with us about anything that we are talking about on this program, we'd love to hear from you. And there'll also be an email available as well, so that please do try to get in touch with us about the program. I'd like to introduce my expert and guest in the studio, and I have the honor and pleasure once again this week to be joined by Sheikh Dr. Amini, who is a researcher and academic, and a prominent participant, if I say, or a member of the Muslim-Christian dialogue Institute, I believe. Yes, that's right. Which you are a prominent member of, and of course a specialist in interfaith dialogue. So it's wonderful to have you again for this week.
Thank you very much. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah send your best blessings upon the Holy Prophet of Islam and his Immaculate Ahlul Bayt.
Thank you.
And I offer my best salutes and salutations to all my dear viewers around the world, to you and to your dear colleagues
in
the studio. And I congratulate the Islamic Unity Week, which is really coincided with our topic.
Yes.
Which is about interfaith dialogue, and it is really brilliant and unprecedented. You know, these two aspects come together in one week, and I hope that inshallah you'll have a good dialogue and discussion today.
Thank you very much for that introductory comments there, yes. Dr. Amini. I really appreciate them, and I'm sure the viewers appreciate it as well. Now, Dr. Amini, for those viewers who have been following the program for the last 2 or 3 weeks, unfortunately, because of lack of time last week, we couldn't complete the list about commonalities. You were listing a whole broad range of themes which are in common between, the schools, Muslim schools of thought, as well as for the people of the book, yeah. As well as for, especially for Christianity, because yeah. We were talking last week about the fact that, you know, both Christianity and Islam are missionary religions.
Yes.
And we spoke with Dr. Nichols in America, who was also broadening out this discussion by telling us that we had to focus on the commonalities, that even in Christianity, because of sectarianism, because of groups that were being made up in Christianity, that caused wars. They had 30-year wars, century wars, whatever it was, but eventually they found a way of breaking through, mm-hmm. trying to understand the other. And you did point out last week that, you know, that the cultural divide has to be bridged, mm-hmm. by understanding one's etiquettes, the other's etiquettes, his other culture background, understanding their language properly. So there were so many aspects to this that we had to discuss, which we couldn't do because of a lack of time. But if you could give us a brief introduction to these commonalities, and this puts into light, because of Unity Week, the real importance of interfaith dialogue and interfaith dialogue to make peace and harmony between humanity.
Yes, thank you for this good introduction.
Thank
As a matter of fact, Islam is a very comprehensive religion.
Of course it is, yes.
And there is no doubt about it. Mm. Not only it talks about intra-faith dialogue, it talks about interfaith dialogue as well. Let me first of all give you give you a definition of the interfaith and interfaith dialogue.
Please.
You know, in etymological point of view, mm-hmm. intra means inside and inter means between. Okay.
Excellent.
Intra-faith dialogue means inside-faith dialogue, okay, which means when the sects and denominations of one religion come together in an ecumenical work to come together and talk to each other, it becomes intra-faith dialogue. Mm-hmm. For example, Shia Sunni, okay, mm-hmm. Ja'faris and non-Ja'faris, mm-hmm. the denomination. Mm-hmm. Or, for example, inside the Christianity, the Orthodoxy.
Ecumenical meaning a religious discussion
exactly.
between scholars.
Global
and between scholars.
Exactly.
Yeah,
this
right.
is ecumenical. Mm-hmm. So when it becomes intra-faith dialogue, it means inside. Really. For example, Orthodoxy, Catholicism, okay, Protestantism, they come together, it becomes intra-faith.
Sure.
But when we talk about interfaith means two religions come, two different school of thought, two different, we can say, faith come together. Okay, so this week we are going to have the intra-faith dialogue with which is mainly founded by late Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah.
That's right.
Exactly.
I was going to mention that the
difference, the distance between the 12th of Rabiul Awwal and the
17th of Rabiul Awwal.
These 5 days
yes.
have been mentioned as the 5 days of unity.
I mean,
and
this was a great thing that Imam Khomeini, may
yes.
God bless his great soul, did, because as part of the revolution.
Exactly.
I mean, we mentioned this in another program as well, that you know there was this very great chance.
Yeah.
That it could have gone one way,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
either with the Ahlul Bayt school of thought or the Jafriya school of thought, but the Imam Khomeini never went down that path. He said, no,
exactly.
everybody must be pulled together. All the schools of thought come from one source.
Yeah, yeah.
And they must be pulled together so yeah. that we see as we'll discuss later on, try to bridge this gap,
yeah,
so that we don't see the differences. We only see that we are believers in one God, the Holy Quran,
yeah,
the Holy Prophet, and the Day of Judgment.
Exactly.
And to bring ourselves to an understanding, to stand within the difficulties that we face, the oppression that we face at the moment, and to challenge that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The first and foremost commonality that we have in intra-faith dialogue among the different sects and denominations of Islam is actually, which is mentioned in this verse, اعتصموا بحبل الله ولا تفرقوا. Keep and hold fast on the cord and covenant of God.
That's
so
right,
what is the covenant and
of
cord
God.
Of God?
Yes, yes.
Here it is mentioned, there are, as a matter of fact, two or three parts.
Uh-huh.
Holy Prophet, Quran, and Ahlul Bayt. So these are the covenants. These are the cord or the rope which is between us and the, as a matter of fact, the Lord. So when we hold fast to this issue, so we have no differences. All of the Muslims have one father, that is Prophet of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because we have mentioned in many occasions that أنا وعلي أبا هذه الأمة, I, Holy Prophet mentions and states sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I and Ali are the fathers of this Ummah. Okay,
yes.
So we have one father and one patriarch, and that's the Holy Prophet of Islam.
That's true.
We have one manual and guiding line, this is Quran, and we have good imams and divine leaders, which are Ahlul Bayt alayhim
as-salam. That's right.
So when we keep fast to these covenants, so we will not be lost in the middle of darkness. So this is one point, and this is the main commonality that we have among the Muslim Ummah, okay.
Yes.
But in regard with the commonalities among the interface or between religions, okay.
Mm-hmm.
We were, if you remember, in the previous discussion, we were talking about Islam and Christianity.
That's
so
right. Yes.
We talked that believing in God was one of the
yes.
main.
And I believe you're now going to give us Quranic evidences regarding
yes.
this aspect, because
exactly.
You said there's 24 general verses
yes.
and 20 special verses
exactly.
or something to this
yes.
effect. So if you
yes,
could
for sure.
List as much as
these
you can in the short
exactly.
time that we
these,
have.
These commonalities have been deducted
yeah.
and we can say extracted from those verses.
I
but
see.
I will, in the next episodes and next phases of the program, I will mention
sure.
one by one.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the commonalities which is extracted from those verses can be mentioned that believing in God, believing in free will, responsibility, accountability, and moral values. These are very important. Look. First of all, these two religions, we were talking about Islam and Christianity and people of the book, they are believing in one God. Of course, we have different names, but we are monotheistic, because we are following the religions of one father, which is Abraham. We are Abrahamic
exactly.
religions. Abraham.
Yes, Abrahamic faith, yes, yes.
Because in the Quranic verse, we have that, as a matter of fact, the Prophet Abraham was not a Christian and was not a Jew. He was a Muslim. Muslim is submission. He was totally submitted himself to one God and he was a monotheist.
That's right. Yes.
Pure monotheist.
Yes.
So we are following of such father. So how can we believe in different gods? So this is one point.
Sure.
The second, we are believing in moral values. What is bad, for example, in Islam is bad in Christianity. For example, lying, backbiting, stinginess, okay.
Quite.
For example, there are many moral issues, as I told, backbiting or spying over other people.
Well, the
okay.
other thing I would mention straight away, you know, when you mention, you know, the Christian creed, for example, and that is that the commonality that Judaism, Christianity, and Islam have is the fact that the Ten Commandments bridge this gap, because the Ten Commandments was not only for Bani Israel,
yeah.
but it was also for Christianity, it's also for the Jews, I beg your pardon, for the Muslims. And the Ten Commandments are mentioned in the Quran as well,
yes.
that thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not take
yes.
extra partners to
about
God,
neighbors,
and
about
being
neighbors,
good to your parents,
neighbors.
And being kind to your parents, and so on and so forth.
Neighbors, yeah.
So
do not steal, do not commit adultery,
yeah.
or these things which
these
are
all
the Ten Commandments,
yeah.
exactly, these
yeah.
are commonalities.
Yeah.
Of course, I have to mention here that we must not forget that during these 2,000 or 3,000 years
yes.
after Moses, alayhi
salam,
Jesus, and among this period, there has been some, for sure, there have been some heresies and heterodoxies in mind.
Of course.
Of course, we cannot
course.
Deny it, but
no.
we are talking about commonalities.
Yes.
So,
We have a similar problem in the Prophet Sunnah as well,
exactly.
The way it was recorded, who quoted which hadith, who quoted which narration. So
exactly.
we have
yes.
similar problems.
The other commonality is believing in resurrection and the day of judgment.
Yes, yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
For example, if we have, for example, Qiyamah,
yes.
the concept of the resurrecting, or the similar words, mm. they have the last judgment, the word last judgment. They use it, mm. which they have some special kinds of interpretation for that. The other commonality was divine justice or theodicy. We both, and the old Abrahamic religions, believe that God is all just. He never
yes.
does something which is against the, for example, which is not good for human being.
Yes.
The other commonality, which is very important, we have the same father and mother, okay?
This is a very important point, Sheikh, that you mentioned, because
yeah.
The Holy Quran refers to the children of Adam
ya
as coming,
Adam. Exactly.
coming from one soul.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Ya Bani Adam, or children of Adam, or in the other parts. We have one father, which is Abraham, actually, the father of all religions or religious
yes,
people.
Absolutely.
The other belief, common belief, is prophethood. These people of the book, and especially the Christian, never reject the prophethood. They believe in prophets, the former prophets, and as a matter of fact, in the apostles and these things. This is another commonality. Sorry that I'm talking fast about this, because I think
I appreciate that, because for our viewers, because we lost a
exactly.
lot of these things in the previous programs,
yeah.
but as much as you can cover, that would be great. Yes.
Calling a spade and talking frankly,
yeah.
the talking about this subject needs more than 10 sessions, so we have to abstract it.
Yes, do your best, Dr.
Exactly.
in the time that we have.
The other very important commonality, especially
yes.
among Muslim and Christians, is love for Mary.
Yes,
Lady
Mary, yes, the mother of the Holy Prophet Jesus, peace
yeah,
be upon
yes,
him. Yes,
for sure.
Yes, the Holy Mother.
It is very important to know that her name has been mentioned in Quran 34 times.
That's correct, yes.
Even
yes.
it is more than Bible.
Yes. yes, yes. And the other aspect I would mention, because since I come from that kind of background, is
yeah.
that, you know, we don't know much about the Holy Mary
exactly.
Mother in the Bible. We
and
don't know.
While
much.
One of the chapters in
yeah.
Quran is named after.
That's
Mary,
right. And I discovered this to my fascination, that in the Quran it went into a lot more detail about her life.
And other important
yeah.
aspect is that her name is the only lady name which is mentioned in Quran.
Of course it is, yes.
You cannot find any
you know,
other lady's name.
You can't find many others.
Lady Mary or Maryam.
A whole chapter is named after her.
Whole chapter, and her name is the only
yes.
lady name which is mentioned in Quran.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So this is other, and she has a special verse, as her son has a special verse. Okay,
absolutely.
Because her parents has vowed to bring, for example, a son, and they have made a vow to devote.
To the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The temples
yes.
of the Jews, but
yeah.
it came around and it became a girl.
Yes.
So
yes.
it was very important.
Absolutely.
And about the other commonalities about Jesus the Christ, for example,
yeah.
it has been mentioned 90 times in Quran.
My goodness.
Okay.
90 times.
And very great verses have been mentioned in this regard. And of course, his miracles, his special verse have been mentioned in Quran in different. And he has been mentioned as the arch-prophets
sure.
or arch-prophets in
sure.
Quran. So
yes.
this was the other commonality. The other commonality was the challenges of today's life.
Uh-huh.
The other commonality that which has social and political aspect, that Islam and Christianity and all.
Well, that's a very important point, Sheikh, because
yes.
of course, you know, nowadays humanity is looking for a spiritual path.
Yeah.
That's one aspect.
Exactly.
The other aspect is that because of the difficulties, the global economy is, the difficulties of the fact that world governments have become very oppressive, even in the so-called free world, we are seeing a lack of freedom of expression.
Yes.
We are seeing the hypocrisy in
yeah.
the politics. We are seeing the fact that on the one hand, we are talking about human rights, but in the other hand, we are seeing double standards and people
yeah.
being slaughtered on a level that's never been seen before.
Yeah.
So, of course, people are trying to find a way out.
Why the First and Second World Wars have
yeah.
took place.
Yes, you mentioned this in the previous programs as
you know,
well.
This
yes.
is because of the political.
Yes.
Exactly. the French Revolution, about the Crusade Wars, about the civil wars.
Absolutely.
Just look at the from the beginning of, and this is not unprecedented, because even the children of Adam, Habil and Gabil, they have.
That's true. But the other thing is that, you know, the wonderful thing I heard from one commentator recently was the fact that they said, well, we don't have money for a health system.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have money for education. We don't have money to relieve poverty. But we do find the money to send soldiers thousands of miles away to fight in Mali.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, this is what's happening from the West, you know, and this, you know, NATO can find the money to send Patriot missiles to Turkey.
Or building arsenals or gun-making
exactly,
factories.
Exactly, or renewing nuclear weapons.
Nuclear.
I mean, you were talking about a very big nightmare.
This is one of the great, great crises. We don't have money for religious issues, but we have money for mass slaughtering. No?
This is what you were talking about, that nightmare that you mentioned about World War III happening in the name even of religion because of this double standards and misunderstanding.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Please carry on with the commonality.
The other commonality which is mentioned in Quran is that Quran shows a great affection for Christians.
Right. Could you just hold that point, that great affection for Christianity, because that's a point that we'll discuss at length, hopefully in the next phase of the program. But viewers, we're just going away for a short break, but please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thanks.
Muslims must believe that Allah is the sole Lord who is in control of all things.
God is, when we think about him in his attributes, he is the sum of all perfections. What is the concept of salvation in Islam?
The first thing that you must have is belief in God.
I think when we try to understand who God is and what God is, that reflects on our understanding of who we are and what we are and what our goal is in this world.
Once you ring the bell of sin, you can't unring it.
Question tonight is about the whole idea of God's complete mercy and complete justice.
It would be unjust if God created us imperfect and demand perfection.
It's a difference between Christians and Muslims. We believe in grace. It's not rules that save us.
ما كنت أعرف يعني إنه شو هو الدين مثلاً أو شو هو شو هي المسيحية شو هو الإنجيل.
I know a lot about it, but I guess I didn't know enough. So it was good to hear directly from them instead of hearing about them.
If the man stopped calling Jesus good,
then he stopped acknowledging that Jesus is God.
Yeah, is that pretty obvious?
Right, but that's the problem with that man's thinking, not
so
with
what?
Jesus.
So is Jesus a bad communicator?
Not at all.
So why
not
did he clarify to the man right after?
Well, I think he's been doing that all the way through the gospel.
We need to talk. We need to listen. We need to understand how people think. That's why I was so excited to come.
You know, I learned a lot of things from Christians, and I'm sure that Christians learned a lot of things from Islam.
I think it is also a wonderful thing that people who follow Christ and people who follow Islam can come together and talk peacefully about this.
Dialogues like this will promote understanding, especially because this was done in a friendly manner. I think these promote understanding and learning between peoples of different religions and different cultures.
Yes.
Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. Dr. Sheikh, I mean, we only have 20 minutes left in the program.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to cover, because since we are talking about Unity Week, we also want to talk about the issues in terms of the commonalities between the different schools of thought in Islam, because of course there is another double standards which is affecting us in terms of this dialogue, which comes from the Salafi side, the Takfiri side, which calls other Muslims non-believers, which really is haram in Islam. It's forbidden to say to another Muslim that you are an unbeliever.
Yeah.
So this is another issue that, you know, that is there. But as much as you can, whatever you can cover between these two very important dialogues, would
you
help
know,
us.
Among the actually the commonalities, which is one of the bridging the gap. Okay, we were talking about the commonalities. Okay, we have the concept of Nostra Aetate.
Right.
Nostra Aetate is one of the great documents which has been passed by Second Vatican Council, in
right.
which is about, for example, for 50 years ago, which was passed in 28th of October,
right.
1965, by His Holiness Pope Paul the Fifth. Okay.
Right.
This is very important, which says that part 3 of this Nostra Aetate, in Latin it means in our time,
in
our
time,
age,
yes,
okay,
yes.
Goes on, part 3 of this Nostra Aetate says, goes on to say that the Catholic Church regards the Muslim and the East with esteem, and then continues by describing some of the things Islam has in common with Christianity and Catholicism. Worshipping of one God, the creator of heaven and earth, merciful and omnipotent, who has spoken to men, the Muslim respect for Abraham and Mary, and great respect for Jesus the Christ, whom they consider to be a prophet and not God. The Synod urged all Catholics and Muslims to forget the hostilities and differences of the past and to work together for a mutual understanding and benefits. So
very
this is
nice.
One of the documents which is mentioned.
Very
in the documents
to
of
hear that.
Yes,
yes,
it is by the Vatican. It has been a pontifical issue, pontifical decree.
The thing it doesn't surprise me is that the fact that the Holy Quran alluded to this effect.
Exactly.
That
so
in one verse it says that you'll find that the Catholics are more nearer to you than Christianity. The Christians are more nearer to you in faith.
Come exactly. Mm. Why after 2,000 years,
yes.
Vatican has issued this decree. This
sure.
is my question. This is what has been mentioned 14 centuries ago by Quran.
Islam.
By
yes.
Islam. Come
yes.
to common wars.
Mm.
So now they have issued this issue. So it means if we come from the gate of dialogue
sure.
and persuading the others,
sure.
it will end, inshallah, in a very good and, as a matter of fact, fruitful outcome.
Willing. God
so
willing.
The other commonalities.
Hallelujah to that.
Yes. The other commonalities which I put an end and start the Quranic proofs is the hierarchy, the religious hierarchy, martyrdom. These are the other commonalities. Hierarchy. We have different grades of the leaders in each religion. Martyrdom. They have the martyrdom as well. Recognition of legal system, social and political system for justice and etc. These are other commonalities.
Sure.
We have common experiences, and we have the other commonality. We have very religious rituals. These
sure.
are the commonalities.
Sure.
So these were the least of, as a matter of fact, the commonalities that we had in regard with Islam, Christianity, and the people of the book. But in regard with Quranic proofs, as I promised in the early,
yes.
okay, we can divide the verses of Holy Quran into two categories. First is general ayahs and verses,
sure.
which talk about generally about peace, unity, and dialogue.
Mm.
And the second group and second category is about the just talking to people of the book, especially the Christianity. Okay, so. Let me tell you in advance, tell me this point that first, Quran is like hidden treasury and like the ocean, that if you want to find the brilliant pearls, you have to dive into the ocean to find these pearls from the bed of the ocean.
That's very
so
eloquent,
very
put, Sheikh, Dr. Amini.
It's very important. We this. Have to search.
Mm.
We cannot sit back and for example, wait for a
and
moment.
I hope the pearl would float up
come
to the top.
Yes.
It's not going to happen.
I have searched. I have spent, I can say, 6 months on to find these verses from
my
the
goodness.
Holy Quran.
My
different books and different documents. And
my goodness.
Although we always read and recite these verses, but
we don't pay attention to what they actually refer
yes.
to. Yeah.
The first and foremost issue
mm.
the whole is the Holy Prophet himself in Quran.
Right. Right.
فَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَزِيمٍ O Prophet, you are, and most surely you confirm yourself to sublime moralities.
Yes,
O Prophet,
moralities,
you
yes.
are confirming and submitting yourself to sublime moralities. Okay, in another verse, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِمْ مُعَنِتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَءُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ There has certainly come to you an apostle and prophet from among us yourselves. Grievous to him is your distress. He is full of concern for you and most kind and merciful to the faithful. Okay?
Yes.
Holy Prophet himself is one of the ayahs and the signs of peace.
Exactly. Because this is why God refers to him all the time in the Quran as the sign of mercy, as the sign of
mercy,
and the essence of God's mercy for humanity.
In chapter of Al Imran, verse number 159, we have Al-Billah min ash-shaytan ajib. Fabima rahmatin min Allah lint lahum. Walau kunta faddan qalid al-qalb lan faddu min hawlik. O Prophet, this is the mercy of God that you become compassionate and benign for the people. If you were harsh to them, they would scatter around you.
Yes, no one would come to Islam.
They will diffuse.
Yeah.
So, best moralities, this is one of the important, that if you want to take this Prophet as a role model, so we have to look at his morality and sublime moralities. Okay.
Sure.
The other verses, Ya Yalazin, okay, the other verse, the principality in Islam is communication. O people of the book, be patient and help each other to be patient and establish good relations with one another. So this is the principality in Islam. Principality is with communication.
Yeah, these are the main principles. Yes, absolutely.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. You believe, enter into the peace and all. Into the peace, you must enter all and all. Okay? And do not follow the ways of Satan. What is the way of Satan? This is disuniting. Okay?
Disuniting and hatred.
Hatred. In the other chapter, chapter 4, verse number 12, we have وَالصُّلُّ خَيْرٌ. Peace is better for you. Settlement is better for you.
Of course it is.
These are the Quranic verses. Okay?
Yes. And I mean, the relevance of what you've just said a moment ago about this peace, I mean, it is so relevant nowadays that people are looking for this peace, but they don't know where to find it.
إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْفَةً فَاسْلُهُ بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. All the believers are brothers of to one another. Believers, we are brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَزْحَبْ رِيهُكُمْ. Do not dispute with one another, because you will be weakened and your enemy will be powered. So do not dispute. If you dispute, okay, you will lose your power.
That, in other words, if we start like in the words of our expert last week, if we only emphasize differences and we only start talking about those, well, we're not even going to get dialogue, we're not even going to get talking, we're just going to end up fighting each other again.
Exactly. Yeah. So, in other words, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Cooperate in piety and good awareness, but do not cooperate in sin and aggression. This is another verse of Quran.
Sure.
These are very beautiful verses. Just
of course
each of them needs to be interpreted. Other verses. Allah yad'u ila dar as-salam. Allah invites you to the abode of peace. Okay, God invites you to the abode. What is the abode of peace? Trust. Trusting in each other.
Yes.
Peaceful coexistence. We must, as a matter of fact, build up our houses and loving our neighbors. We have to keep up that golden rule, because we have a very golden rule and silver rule.
Yes.
I don't know, you have heard of it.
Yes.
Golden rule means we have in, not only we have in Islam, but we have in all divine religions.
Yes.
And it is mentioned as golden rule, which means as a matter of fact, worship thy Lord and respect thy neighbor.
Neighbor, yes. Worship
Lord,
thy Lord
and neighbor.
Yes.
Very important.
Yes,
no, neighbor respecting has been mentioned next
absolutely.
One of the attributes of heaven is that لا يسمعون فيها لغوان إلا سلاما. In the heaven, the people of the heaven and paradise will not hear any vain talks.
Right. Just hold that point about vain talk, Dr. Amini. We'll come back to that very important point right after this break. So please stay with us, viewers. We'll be right back. Thanks. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. Dr. Sheikh Amini, in these last few minutes that we have,
yes.
I mean, you've covered some very, very important salient features, I would say, of interfaith and intrafaith dialogue. The important aspect for me is that you're talking about three things: trust, following the path of wisdom, which is what we're talking about, that human beings use their intellect in order to create harmony and mercy amongst themselves.
Exactly.
And this is, and as you say, a loving and trusting relationship, even though we may come from entirely different cultures and histories and backgrounds, but that shouldn't be an obstacle in terms of humanity getting itself together. So enlighten us further in terms of these Quranic evidences about, in these last few minutes, to sum up this entire subject.
So
I know it's very difficult.
Among 40 verses that I promised to tell you, I have just mentioned five of them.
Five of them so far.
6 minutes, I have to collect some of them.
Right.
Okay, in Quran, about the dialogue, about the prophets and former prophets, it is an order and commitment that that we have to recognize the former prophets, and it has been mentioned in chapter of, as a matter of fact, in different chapter, for example, chapter of Shura number 13, that for example, he has prescribed for you the religion which he had enjoined upon Noah, and which we have also revealed to you, and which have enjoined upon Abraham, Moses, Jesus, declaring, maintain to the religion and do not be divided in it. So this is the only message which has been mentioned to, from the beginning, to the Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, these Ark prophets, and the Holy Prophet of Islam. That, what is that main message? Maintain the religion and do not be divided in it. Okay. The other verse which is very important, which has been mentioned in the narration, is قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ, O people of the book, come to common relatives between us and you, and do not be scattered, and worship one God. So this is another word, this is another verse. I think it's better to talk to just one or two verses and not to go over the other ones.
No, of course, because of shortage of time, we can't, really.
But the core of the point is that Islam does not look at all religions in one eye.
Okay? That's right.
For example, the Quran does not say that, for example, all the Christians are in wrong paths, or the, for example, those who are Jews are in wrong paths. No,
no, it doesn't say that.
In this verse, it has been mentioned, لَيْسُ سَوَاءً مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أُمَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُمْ يَسْجُدُونَ. Yet they are not all alike. Okay, this is in chapter of Al Imran, verses 113 up to 114.
Right.
That yet they are not alike. Among the people of the book is an upright nation. They recite Allah's signs in the watches of the night, and prostrate they have facing God in Allah and last day, okay, and bid what is right and forbid what is wrong, and are active in performing good deeds. They are amongst the righteous. So God the Almighty says we must not look at all of them in one eye.
No,
okay?
No.
Some of them are.
But what he's really pointing out is that from the people of the book, from previous monotheistic traditions, there are very righteous people amongst them. And I do record there is a verse in the Quran that says that blessed are those who are amongst the Christians and the Jews and the Sabians, they will be granted heaven.
Exactly, yes.
And they should have no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if they are people...
If they follow the correct path.
Yeah, if they follow the correct path and do righteous deeds and perform...
The original ones,
yes,
exactly.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
For example, this verse says that وَإِذَا سَمَعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمِ. Then, in the time of the Holy Prophet, the Christians was in they were like this, that whenever one verse was would be revealed to the Holy Prophet of Islam, their eyes started to cry. They would start to cry.
Cry, yes.
For this, as a matter of manifestation for these verses, okay? Mm. In another verse, we have that, as a matter of fact, وَلَوْلَا دَفْءُ اللَّهِ النَّاسِ بَعْضَهُمْ بَبَعْضٍ لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ وَبِيَعٌ. Had not Allah repulsed the people from one another, ruin would have befallen the monasteries, churches, and synagogues and mosques in which Allah's name is mentioned.
Yes, this is one of my favorite verses, actually.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, this is important that if God wants to see these places, okay, which the name of the, which the names of, which the name of God has been mentioned in them, in these places, okay. This is the other verse. And about the methodology, do not dispute with the people of the book, except in a manner which is the best. Okay, this is the methodology.
Sure.
And there are many other beautiful verses in Quran, but in, let me end this chapter
this
with
this section, yes,
by the saying of Ayatollah Makarem, who has the
Makarem Shirazi, one of the great theological scholars here in Qom,
and he has written the interpretation of Quran, which is called Tafsir Nemune.
Mm-hmm.
Under the verse of Innad-Dina Indallahi al-Islam, okay, surely religion in Allah is the surrender and submission and Islam. He has a very beautiful phrase. He mentions that the word of Islam means submission. Okay, so if it is mentioned that Innad-Dina Indallahi al-Islam, the only religion before God is Islam, is this that if all the people surrender themselves to God the Almighty and to the, to his prophets and to the day of resurrection, okay, in this case all the religions are Islam. Okay, so
very
all the
nice
religions,
yes,
are
Islam. It's showing that the one of the end verses of the Quran itself in the verses where it says when all the people really get to know God, they'll all come and follow the same path. It doesn't matter what background or creed they came from originally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And let's do not forget this other verse that Allah mentioned, وَاتَّسَمُوا بَحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, that hold fast to the core of God. It is not only mentioning about the intraphase, but also in the interface dialogue as well. So these verses were the important verses,
right,
in regard
well,
with the...
Dr. Amin, we are in the last couple of minutes of the program now, so if you could conclude for us in terms of the Unity Week, that what do we hope to gain out of it? What do we hope that will happen out of this? That with all the schools of thought amongst the Muslims getting together, discussing their various issues and problems and whatever, but at the same time trying to form this bridging of the gap between mutual understanding, respect and love for each other's belief, at the same time with other monotheistic faiths or other people of other faiths as well, or of no faith, that they can come together on a common platform.
Actually, if I want to conclude my these five sessions that four sessions that I have been at your service, and if I want to conclude one sentence to have in this such a moment, okay, is this, that I want to summon up my dear viewers, all the Muslims all around the world and all the people of the book and the believers, that dear ones, the age we are living in is not the age of clash of civilizations.
That's right.
This is the age of dialogue. This is the age of
information,
you know,
communication,
dialogue, peaceful coexistence, love, respect, trust. We must build up bridges which we can trust on each other and one another. This is very important, okay? And we have to look at our, as a matter of fact, neighbors. Neighbor means here that those who are like us, because in all religions the concept of neighbor has been fulfilled beside the name of God, as a matter of fact.
Right.
So it is the time of putting aside the difficulties and gathering together, because we have one common enemy, which is Ilhad and atheism and anti-theism.
Thank you.
We have to come together.
Thank you very much. Dr. Amini, really, it's been a great pleasure having you on these sessions, and it's been, you've certainly concluded for us that interfaith dialogue is very, very important.
Yes.
So thanks very much for that,
Dr.
Amini. And it just leaves me to say to our viewers, I hope you've enjoyed these sessions, and we once again congratulate you on Unity Week. And wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessing and mercy of Allah be upon you all. Thank you for watching and goodbye. Thank you.